This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Broadcasting around the state, Christine Layton filling in for Amber Cunningham, and Sabby is in the studios. How are you?
Steens, we get to play out in the garden again.
We do.
It's been a while.
And it's not that I don't want to be here, but I much prefer listening to you and Amber than filling in, because I go to the gym and then I get in the car at 9 o'clock and then I just laugh and laugh and laugh and sweat some more. And it's but Pruning Man had me in stitches. That trailer that Amber made was hilarious.
But do you know, we get the best callers, and they do not mind when Amber and I ask them the tricky questions.
Yeah, we need to fess
up. Yep, they fess up. So
I love it when they bury the lead, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I trimmed 2/3 of it off, but it was in the middle of summer. You know, it's great. It's very good listening.
I know. So it's please, heaps of fun.
Don't be scared. 1300-221-0025. Give us a call early so you've got as much time as possible with Sabby. And I've been on Bud Watch because it's that time of year.
I've been following your garden on your Facebook page, and just I have to admit, Steen, sometimes I'm a little bit jealous. Yeah, because you've got all that. Because you get up at 4 a.m. on the Kings Park plant sale. So you've got really rare and marvellous stuff.
I'll be your dealer. I'm happy.
I'm going to pimp you out.
Happy to. You know what? Low fee, mates rates.
Absolutely.
But you know what? That's what being part-time maternity leave let me do.
Yeah.
Because you can go to nurseries dressed in your pyjamas.
Yes.
And no one's going to judge you.
No.
And you can buy root stock for $6 because that's all you've got because you're part-time now.
Yep.
And then if it dies, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And then if it lives, you get a Hagia Scoparia with a beautiful cream thing.
I know. Like little balls of joy, I call them. Yeah. Little balls of joy.
And can I give a shout-out to the gardening world?
Because
I have to say, when it comes to passing down knowledge to the next generation, gardeners are the best.
Absolutely.
Kathy and Kev Collins.
Yep.
From Banksia Farm. They answer all my dumb questions on the Banksia Lovers group on Facebook.
Yep.
And I was so happy to see my Blechnifolia with a little bud. And I was like, look, this feels like an unsolicited pick, if you know what I'm saying, because it feels rude to share, but I'm so excited about it. And everyone came to celebrate.
Oh, he's got a little furry baby on it. His knowledge of Banksias is astonishing.
Yeah. It's hard not to ask a million questions.
I know.
Anyway. But yeah, so look, shout out to all of the gardeners who are teaching the younger gardeners how important our gardens are, because WA has the most
astonishing flora in the world.
Yeah. And your nightlife listeners and overnights listeners, say hi, by the way.
I miss overnights.
When I mentioned your name, I think they thought you were coming on. And no joke, within 30 seconds, I had a question about propagation.
Oh.
It was just, it was insane. They're so well trained.
I love the overnights audience. Yeah. That's so beautiful. But so are our roots and shoots. That. Awesome. And they're ringing in.
You're awake. 1300-221-0025. And you're mostly sober. Let's go to Gay.
Yay.
And look, it's fine when you aren't as well. Gay, hello.
Hello, Gay from Ellenbrook. Are you the Gay that I know from Ellenbrook?
Yes, I am.
Lovely to talk to you.
I did love your visit, Sabrina.
Oh, we had fun. You got a fantastic garden. She's a gun gardener.
Oh, what kind? What kind of garden?
She grows just about everything, actually.
Ooh.
She's a multitasker.
So to need an answer from Sabrina, what's going on?
Well, 2 years ago I bought a collection of only 8 iris bulbs, and they have multiplied and multiplied and multiplied.
Yes.
I separated some earlier this year, but I've still got 4 clumps of at least 35 bulbs in each one, and they're now about 30 centimetres tall. Can I dig them up and separate them, or should I now wait till they flower and do
No,
it
no,
later?
You can. Now, Gay, I don't know if you know or not, but we're having at City Farm, we're having the big plant swap in August. So if you have any spares, would you like to bring them bring them down for our plant swap, which is on, we'll get Ash to bring up the date because I can't remember, the plant swap in August. And so you can give plants and then take plants.
Away, take it away.
But you can, if you want to dig them up now, you can, Gay.
29th of August.
Yep.
So, Sabby, if I get there on the 29th of August, they wouldn't have all died off by then, so how
are you you're just going to have to cut them. So you you just prune them and leave, you know, about 10, 12 centimetres of leaf.
Okay, and just bring the bulbs.
And just bring the rhizome, yep.
Okay, cool. Yep. Thank you.
And well, good on you, Gay. Your garden is magnificent. Really is.
I wish it was as nice as you're promoting it, Sabrina.
That's right. We're all sitting here picturing Sabrina's epic jungle with all your birds. You've got bird nests.
Yeah.
Birds very down low in your garden because they trust you.
They do. And also because I have a three-tiered garden.
Mm.
So I've had some the thing about being 70 is you can't lift up limestone rocks all day and dig big beds and prune all the trees. And so I've got my mate Beck in and Hayley, and they have, because I've just got bored with the garden.
Yes.
And because I've got so much shade, there's too much shade. So some things had to go and some things, so I've taken out an entire hedge.
Out the back or out the front?
Out the back.
Yeah.
Oh, I've done the front as well. Ooh. I've done the front, the middle, the back and the very back.
Really?
Yep. 5 days I've flogged those girls to death. And I'm going to I'll put up on our Facebook page, well, when I say I mean Jess because I just still don't know how to do it, the before and afters.
Yes,
and
please.
It's because I get when I do garden consults, a lot of older people that are 70 plus say the same thing. They're finding it really difficult to manage their own gardens. So I've just gone, I'm going to do stuff now so that I can maintain that garden for the next at least 20 years.
Like Swedish death cleaning, but
that's
gardening.
It. Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's the one.
About the death, about the living.
Yeah. That's
got you.
That's it, Steve.
1300 221 0025. Nola is in Bunbury. G'day, Nola.
Good morning, ladies. Steens, it's lovely to hear your voice on the radio.
Thank you, Nola. I remember you and I'm so glad you phoned up, and I'm not surprised that you have a bonsai because that takes discipline.
I am not a disciplined person. Now, Sab, nice to hear you in the studio.
You too. Oh, you too, Nola.
But how did you cope back to the cold weather after Bali?
Yeah, very tough. Good. I refused to get up out of bed before 10.
Now, listen, ladies, I don't have bats in the belfry.
No.
I have gnats in the bonsai.
Oh, Nola.
So they're outside. They're getting, obviously, too much water and not drying.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
What can I do to crush the cycle of life?
Okay. Now, there is this fantastic little parasite that you just release into all your indoor plants. There's only one company that do it, so I can't give you this information over the phone. But what we are going to do is we are going to hand you back to Ash. Yep. She's going to give me your number and then I will ring you. So the whole biological control of pests is really big now. So there's a lot of companies making some absolutely brilliant stuff. Other things that people can do is cut little squares of potatoes. The gnats go in there and they lay their eggs, and then you ditch the potato every 3 days. You can sprinkle cinnamon around the base of the plant. But these parasites that get in there actually kill the gnats, and the whole life cycle goes.
Okay.
So that in the long term, that's the best control.
All right, Nola, I'm going to put you back to Asha while she is free. She will get your details. And let's go to Darren in Beverly. G'day, Darren.
Hello, how are you going today?
Yeah, good, Darren.
What's your garden
have
like?
Have you got a pruning question?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, it sort of relates to. I had a conversation with you quite a while back.
Yeah.
A year or so ago, when I Texas Chainsaw massacred my grapevine.
Yeah.
And
is it still alive?
Yeah, it did exactly what you said. It grew back.
Yep.
But then it just produced leaves and no fruit this year.
Uh-huh.
And you said that would be probably what would happen.
Yeah.
But should I touch it now? But now it's grown out again. Should I prune it back? Because it's all hanging out again.
No, still prune it back. Now, Darren, I don't know how hard you pruned. But what I'm suggesting is definitely prune it, but do not go too hard. So you'll have the lateral stems that are going along, and from the lateral stems, you will see other stems coming off that. All right?
Yes.
So you can prune back the lateral stems to however long where you want the grapevine to grow horizontally.
So the ones sticking up off it stays there?
No. The ones that are sticking up off it, you leave three nodes. So you know where the leaves come out? So you want three of those, and then you can cut down to the three nodes coming off the horizontal stems.
You are speaking to a serial killer of the grapevine.
Yeah, I know. But
Darren's going, I hear what you say, but I really want to do this. are you gonna be good, Darren?
Because, Darren, that's where your fruit will form.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'll just cut off the bits that are sticking out too far and that'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm not going to cut it off like I did last time. That was really close to the...
Yeah, I'm gathering this already, Darren. So basically leave your chainsaw in the shed, mate. Just come out with a pair of long-handled loppers.
Okay, all right, neck minute. Wine everywhere. Let's go to Coral in Bayswater. And can I just say we now have some phone lines free. Give Asher a call, 1300-221025. We'll get you up ready to go. Coral, hello, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
You brave soul, you. I see two words, one starting with L and the other starting with T.
Oh, no. I sent you a text of my poor weedy... lemon tree a few weeks ago.
Right.
No,
Sabrina told me to put the sheep manure, compost and something else, and I did that.
Yep.
Now it's covered in blossom. Should I pull them off?
How much is left on the tree?
How many leaves?
Yeah. Is it looking healthy now?
Well, the leaves that are there are looking healthy. There's what? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 20 leaves.
Okay. So when you say buds, do you mean leaf buds or flower buds?
Flowers.
Okay. So I would leave the flowers go to just where the fruit is developing into little tiny fruit, and then you're going to flick half of the fruit off.
Half, okay.
Yeah, but when they're very small.
Right, okay.
Yep.
There's just so much flower, coming.
Well, the thing is, Coral, don't forget your lemon tree is going to dump at least two-thirds of those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
That's what they do.
Okay. And it's still it's not very big and,
Yet, yeah.
It's not flourishing. I did have some nematodes in a nearby garden bed and I wondered if...
Maybe you can get some parasitic nematodes for the root knot nematode.
Root knot nematode.
But the more you build up the soil, the worse it is for the nematodes. They don't like the root knot nematode doesn't like good rich soil, and it'll bugger off somewhere else.
There you go. Julie in Bull Creek, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, Julie.
What's going on in your
garden?
Good
morning. Thank you very much. I have an indoor ficus, the one with the big leaves.
Oh, yes, yep.
And it's 2 metres tall, one stalk only.
Yep.
I would like to, send out some other...
Yeah.
So where do I prune it? And Whereabouts on the stalk do I prune it?
Okay, so Julie, the good thing about the fiddle leaf fig is you can basically prune it wherever you want and however far down you want. So you could take 50% off, and you need to prune it. Yep, and you need to prune it just above where there's leaves, because that's where a bud is. Now, if it's grown straight up and there's not a lot of foliage, it means it requires more light. Prune it and then move it. Hopefully it'll get warmer soon. Move it to where it gets more light, and that will definitely encourage shooting further down the stem.
Have you ever pruned it before, Julie?
No, I haven't. And can I plant the piece that I take off?
Yes.
Now, where do I plant that as far as the stem is concerned?
Okay, so you don't want that any more than 30 centimetres long, and you're going to bury a third of it in the soil.
A third?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Mm. Thank you.
All right.
Good luck,
Julie.
Yeah. It took me a while to work up the courage to pray.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about Australians, they don't like pruning, but you go to Europe and they hack stuff to death.
Yeah, what is with that? 1300.
And you know, native plants, all our Australian natives, even if I buy tube stock, I tip prune the top out.
I was horrified when I gave you that Sturt Desert pea and you cut the top off it.
I know.
What? Oh, my. You are ruthless.
It has been beautiful. It's been magnificent. It's really full and bushy and... You know, it flowered like a demon.
Mine died. So, who won that one? You gave me the courage to prune.
Yeah.
And now everything has come back thicker.
Yeah, it does.
My Banksia violacea, how you say it.
Yep.
It's making purple little things, and I'm stalking it hard. It's very
cool. Because in the wild, you get kangaroos and emus eating the death out of everything. So, you know, they like a little bit of a nibble, so you may as well do the nibbling yourself, I say.
Very good.
Be a nibbler.
Let's load up the phones again. 1300 221 1025 if you've got a question for Sabrina. Pat from Kawaramup said, we've had one Hakea lineata and one Hakea lineata, blow over in the storm 1 month ago.
Oh.
They're half uprooted but foliage very green and alive. Would you look to stake them or cover the roots to see if they survive as is? Because they've got shallow roots.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So, Pat, you know what I would do? So when you've got any plant that is leaning because of a storm, what you do is you're going to dig a trench on the other side. What's that called? Not the leeward or the seaward or the whatever. So if it's leaning to the left, I want you to dig a trench to the right of the left-leaning plant.
Opposite?
Yeah, opposite where it's leaning. There is a word for it. I can't think of it. And then what you're going to do is you're going to put a stake in and you are slowly going to winch it back over a period of 3 years.
Okay.
And fill in the hole at the leeward end. You can't just yank it back in one go because you're going to sever all the roots on the other side. So I would do that rather than just covering the roots and seeing how it goes, because you're never going to have a good shape.
Oh, that's good. And their buds are coming up now.
Yeah.
They're going to...
Yep. And don't forget with Hakeas, the buds are there for bloody months before they flower.
So they're such a tease.
I've got a Hakea I bought from a native nursery probably 25 years ago.
Still done nothing.
Well, it's just flowered this year.
Oh, really?
But no one knows what it is.
Oh. You're just
even where I bought it from.
Really?
Yes. Anyway, it'd be exciting to see. I've threatened it with death every year. But anyway, it seems to have come good.
All right. Nice to see the calls coming in. Let's go to Herb in Hobia. Hey, Herb.
Oh, good morning, ladies.
This is Herb in Hobia. Hello, Herb. What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, well, I just went outside and picked some nasturtium leaves and flowers and coriander and just wildly growing lettuce leaves.
Oh,
as you do.
Well done.
Is that why your name's Herb?
Well,
sometimes we call him Basil because he's a bit of a gourmet. Our Herb is.
Yeah, I have heard. what are you up to at the moment, Herb?
Well, I'm looking for some guidance on pruning apples and pear trees.
Yes,
in the orchard. And if I give it a fairly savage pruning now,
yes,
it's going to tend to produce lots of water shoots. Do I just put up with that and give it some summer pruning as well?
I would definitely prune your apples a little bit in summer, because in winter you get to see the whole framework of the tree, Herb. Now, you're quite right. If you prune them really hard, you get all those shoots, vertical shoots, which won't give you many apples. So, Herb, what I suggest you do is just go a little bit easy on it. So prune, take a third off, take any of the inside branches out. Have your apples finished fruiting now?
Oh, hang on, wait. There he is. Yep, sorry, Herb.
I finished picking about 2 weeks ago. I think they were the Dohertys.
Yep. So any time over the next month you can prune your apples and pears. But like pear trees, you can go a lot harder than you can with apple trees, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Worth remembering. Yeah.
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 Take a third off. Look for – the good thing about pruning in winter is you'll see where the next buds are coming through, so you can prune. So flowering buds are round and fat, and there's usually a few of them clustered together. If it's a leaf bud, then they're pointy at the end and a little bit slimmer.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? let's go to Karen in Sawyers Valley. Hello, Karen.
Oh, hi. Hi, girls.
What's happening with your garden?
Well, I'm trying to grow shiitake mulberries. I've got a friend who's got a huge one, and she gave me a whole heap of cuttings, and I tried so many different ways. I put aloe vera on the end and honey and the hormone powder, and I looked up and Googled, and
yep.
Nothing's working. So I know you're the expert, so please help.
Oh, Karen. Now, did you try and take the cuttings in winter or did you take them in summer?
Winter.
Okay, so the hardwood cuttings that you take in winter, you need to come down the branch a fair bit, and the cuttings need to be like your thumb thickness.
Oh, right. Okay. Yep.
So they need to be true hardwood. So the first 20 centimetres of the branch is too young. You have to come down to that really hard wood. And the other thing you can do is you can take cuttings from the new wood in mid-spring.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Yes. And that's the same or?
Well, they can be a bit thinner, like they can be your little finger thickness, and but you want those shorter. You only want those like 10 centimetres, 12 centimetres.
Oh, 12 centimetres.
Yeah.
And is that okay? And sorry, how long were the hardwood cuttings?
Oh, well, the hardwood cuttings, you can go 30 centimetres long.
30 centimetres.
Yeah.
And then how much would you bury?
A third. Into the soil.
Are you going to recut, Karen?
Pardon?
Are you going to go and get some new cuttings?
Yes, I am. I'm going to have another go.
Yeah, give it another crack.
Yeah.
I will.
And then make us some jam. Shatoot. Amazing.
I love the shatoots. Thank you so much.
I know. It's a great mulberry tree.
Why the name?
I don't know. It's a cultivar. Maybe it was developed somewhere near Shatoot.
Well then, wow, you're amazing on the fly. I had forgotten. Bob in Bentley, hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, Bob.
Catch you on the dunny, did we, Bob? You there?
No.
Good. Just checking. It happens.
It does happen.
Yeah, look, I've got a challenge with some old roses. They're quite long, tall, leggy, but they've got very, very old gnarled wood at the bottom, and then they progress right through. And I want to try and rebuild them from the bottom as far as I can.
Okay.
So what wood can I cut back to?
Okay, so now, Bob, if you've got multiple branches coming off the really big old gnarly base, you take the oldest, say if you've got five branches coming off the gnarly base, you're going to take off two of the oldest and woodiest ones in order to get it to shoot some new water shoots. So so basically you can take a third of the branches off the main big base of the crown of the rose. Then what is remaining, because they're old roses, don't take more than 50% off the rest of the stems.
All right, okay.
And, Bob, every year you're going to do that. You're going to take off the oldest, gnarliest wood. So within a period of 3 years, you will have replaced all the really old shoots with brand new water shoots.
Yep. Okay.
And then after you've pruned, Bob, I want you to spray the roses with a rose fungicide.
Oh, yeah.
And then in August, then you can fertilize them.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Bob.
Good on you, Bob, for keeping old roses. I love old roses. They're really, and a lot of families, Steens, they, you know, they have their grandma's roses, and so they're a very sentimental plant.
Yeah.
Are yours sentimental, Bob?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good luck with them, and thank you for calling in. We have to get to this. There we go.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
So when you were instructing your slaves to rip out your garden, what were you listening to? I was going to say, what were you gardening to? But you were sitting there.
I was sitting back. Actually, the the pick of the week is this is our producer's pick of the week. Because I played a tune last week and Ash really loved it. She said, oh, it reminds me of this song. Have you heard this song? I said, no, but let's play it, Ash. So Ash has got the pick of the week and it's called Honey Hold Me by the Morningsiders. Listen up, people.
Give us a call. I like this.
Honey, hold me close.
Honey, hold me by the Morningsiders. Good choice, Asha, by Sabby.
Yeah.
Do you know all the words yet? Do you sing along?
Well, I do, but privately, or only out in the garden where the only thing that can hear me are spiders.
I haven't heard you sing.
Used to be in choirs for many, many years.
Yeah, right, okay. Mm. Soprano, alto, tenor?
Soprano.
Yeah.
Mm, surprise.
Really? That is interesting. Let's talk about that a little bit more. But we've got lots of people on hold. So
yes.
We could also do the calls on Roots and Shoots, 1300-22-1025. We've got Rosemary in Innaloo. Hi, Rosemary.
Oh, hello. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very good, Rosemary.
I have very sad poinsettias because I usually have a beautiful driveway, lots of beautiful red flowers.
Yeah.
But this year, suddenly, I sent a photo in.
Yes.
I don't know whether you
I've got
that.
It. I've got it. Yep.
What has happened? And should I just prune it off or what?
It's totally nude.
It is. It's a little bit bare on its stems there, Rosemary.
There's flowers at the top
of
bare stems.
I think the birds have attacked it.
Ah, they could have. Or I tell you what, Hairy Marys are out and about, the caterpillars. They're stripping my Eremophilas at the moment. and they're early. They usually don't come until spring, but they're knocking off all the winter leaves. Now, the great thing about poinsettias is that they are really tough. So, Rosemary, what I would do now is I would actually prune two-thirds off that bush.
And put it in a giant vase because they're like stalks with flowers at the top.
You also need to thin it out a bit. Now, poinsettias, of course, they come into their Christmas colour in the northern hemisphere at Christmas time. But in the southern hemisphere, they do the opposite. And as you said, normally it would be looking stunning at this time of the year.
Yes.
But it is stripped. It doesn't look like you've got any fungal disease. I think either caterpillars, birds, or a combination of all sorts of things have attacked the leaf. So I want you to cut 50% off, thin it out, then fertilise it, and it will come back.
Oh, when do I fertilise it, now or later?
No, wait until the end of August. Spring. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Thanks,
okay.
Rosemary.
Thanks, Rosemary.
1300 221 0025. Sam is in Augusta. Hello, Sam.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, Sam.
Good. This is a different lemon tree question.
Yep.
We're staying in some accommodation in Augusta and it has a beautiful 100-year-old lemon tree out the front.
Wow.
Which is the most amazing lemon I've ever had. So we're just wondering if we can grow trees from seeds.
Well, you can, absolutely. In fact, that's how all of our fruit trees were grown from seed.
Okay.
But Maggie, it doesn't mean that you're, sorry, Sam, doesn't mean that you will get the same tree. Because when you go from seed, and particularly a really old tree, you are going to get genetic variation from that seed. So definitely grow it from a seed.
Spin the wheel of fortune.
Yeah, spin that wheel. Now, in order to get that particular tree, you would bud graft it onto the rootstock of something else.
Okay, right.
So bud grafting you usually don't do in winter, though. It's a spring, summer, and you take the bud, the tiny little bud that's emerging underneath the leaf, you just get a Stanley knife or a scalpel. You cut the bud out. Then you make a slit in the whatever the rootstock is you're going to use, and it's like a smiley face. So you have a vertical line and then a curved horizontal line. You peel back the bark. You slip in the bud, and then you cover that with budding tape. But that's a late spring, summer thing that you do.
Okay.
What I would do, though, I want you to try and grow it from a cutting.
Right. Okay.
So take seed, grow it from a cutting, and do a bud graft. But if you're going to take the bud, it needs to go into whatever you're grafting it onto straight away.
So what would you graft it onto?
Well, what you could do is just go to a nursery and buy a small tree that's, say, whatever lemon, but it has to be a lemon tree. Okay. You're going to cut the top off that lemon tree and you're going to leave just three branches, and then you're going to put the bud graft on that new lemon tree. You need to mark it so you know which branch has the bud of the 100-year-old lemon tree. And then as that bud grows, you're going to get rid of all the other branches on the tree.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Even if it's coming out sideways.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting.
Awesome. That's so cool.
It's exciting. Oh. Now, with the cutting, don't take the – it's kind of not the right time of year to take a cutting, but I want you to give it a crack.
Okay.
So not the very tip, come down about 5 centimetres from the tip, then take a cutting that's, say, 12 centimetres long.
Okay.
Take a few.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let us know who wins.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also by seed, growing citrus from seed, can take 12 years to fully.
Oh, okay. How long are you at the Airbnb for, Sam? How long? We'll find out. All right. Good luck. We're going to Meg in Melville. Hello, Meg.
Hello, Meg.
Knock, knock, knock. Meg, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, sorry. Good.
It's about fruit trees.
Yes.
I know nothing about growing fruit trees except fig trees because they're dead easy.
They are.
I have a 2-foot-high peach. It's peach and nectarine.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've got it in a pot, but yep. It's still covered in leaves.
Is mine. So yesterday, Meg, I just ripped all the leaves off mine. Cause
I was wondering if I would.
Yeah, so what you are going to do is you're going to go, you are now about to enter your proper winter dormancy and I'm going to rip every leaf off you. And that's what I did with mine yesterday.
Hard love, tough love.
They don't go sort of dry off and they don't go brownie colour or anything. They're green as green.
Yeah, I know. Mine were too. Well, not now. Of course, they're dead. But no, you want to force the dormancy on it, Meg.
Okay.
Rip all those leaves off.
Good, I'll do that because I'm thinking, where's the blossom going to come?
Get out there. Do some rage gardening, Meg. I find that's really therapeutic. That's how I got the entire verge done. There we go. Because the leaves take the nutrients from the tree itself.
Yeah.
And the tree needs the most.
Yeah, it needs to be putting all its energy into making fruiting buds.
There it goes. Thank you. I did watch a video, but it's much better asking you. Let's go to Maggie in North Frio, who has a picture to go with. Hello, Maggie.
Oh, Maggie, you've got a little, I would say, some chewing things in your tree.
Ooh.
Yes. Well, we came back from holiday, and while we were away, the rats had a party on my lime tree.
Hmm.
And my lime tree is prolific with fruit almost all year round.
Yeah.
So I've Googled, went to different people and asked, and the verdict is leave it.
No.
However,
no.
What can I do to
I disagree.
Help it?
Sabrina is totally Google Maggie. Sabrina. You are, though.
I totally disagree with that.
Okay.
Now, there are things that rats don't like. They don't like lead bullets in their head, but that's very tricky to do in an urban area. So don't resort to that, Maggie. They do not like peppermint oil, and they do not like phenyl, which is the stuff that you clean your bins with.
Oh, you clean your bins?
Oh. No, I never do, but apparently, well, some people must do because that's kind of what they call it, which is, I don't even clean my floors, let alone the bins.
She does.
Yes. So what I want you to do is to get material. I want you to get peppermint oil with a bit of water. So you only need, like 2 tablespoons of peppermint oil into 1 litre of water. I want you to spray the cloth with that. And I want you to do the same with phenyl. So you're going to put phenyl, you can dip the material into phenyl. I want you to wrap it around various parts of the trunk of your tree.
Right.
So not on the wounds where they've done all the chewing, but below the wounds where they've done all the chewing.
Oh. Okay.
Now, once you've got the material there, then you keep your little spray bottles and every couple of weeks you're going to spray. The rats hate the smell of that, so that will prevent them from going up and down your tree.
Right, okay.
Now, do not cover the wounds because what trees do is they have their own defence mechanism and healing mechanism. So what they do is they compartmentalise the tree and they cut off various sections where the wounds are. And then they start developing the bark to cover the wound. Oh. So if you put anything over it, you prevent the tree from healing itself.
Oh, okay.
Google, take that, Google. What do you know? Yeah, that's right.
Ah, oh, that is really good news. So, yes, because I didn't want to put anything in the tree because we have lots of birds.
Absolutely.
And fennel is P-H-E-N-Y-L.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you knew that, Maggie, but I didn't. Yeah. And so Google did tell me how to spell it. So I guess I need to apologise.
So, and if anyone is listening and they go, oh, God, I didn't get a chance to write all that down, listen to our podcast. Oh,
nice segue, Sammy. Mm. Look at that. You're so smooth. And I have to say, got this text. We're driving into Perth this morning, returning after 10 years living in Queensland, tuned into the ABC. We're greeted by that infectious cackle, which is Sabrina Hahn. We've listened to many ABC gardeners all over the country on our travels, but this felt like truly.
Oh, thank you, guys. Welcome, welcome back.
Yeah, that's right.
And my youngest daughter has just come back from to live in from New South Wales after 6 years. So it's so lovely to have her home
welcome
again.
Welcome back, Lucy.
And her little Evie, who's a treasure, who turned 4 yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday to Evie. Mm. Did you buy her a plant?
I bought her books on plants, actually.
Nice one. Mm. Yeah, that's cool. All right, let's go to Jimmy in Mount Helena. Hello, Jimmy.
Hi, girls.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hi, Sabrina. I spoke to you a while back about moving a potted cherry tree into the shade for chilling.
I remember, Jimmy, I remember.
Okay, so now I'm just wondering, when do I bring it back into the sunlight? When it flowers or when the fruit is settled?
No, you got to do it when it flowers or just before it flowers, Jimmy.
Oh, before it flowers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. So we're still getting cold mornings and that's what your tree wants. Okay, the first buds that you see forming, first flower buds, then you bring it out. So it'll be a little wee while yet, I reckon.
Yeah. I just want to jump in, make sure,
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, good, I might get some cherries this year.
I hope so, Jimmy. Hey, ring us up and let us know if you're going to get some cherries.
I shall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jimmy, thank you. Let's have a look. It's 12 minutes to 10. I don't want this to end. This is fun.
It flies.
Yeah, it really does fly. And I don't know what's coming up after 10 because I don't fill in super often.
You don't do the sport.
I noticed
last week they had someone made a blue on the website because it had Sports Talk with Sabrina Hahn. Can you imagine? Someone who knows absolutely nothing whatsoever.
Yeah, that's right. You were a Collingwood fan at one point, weren't you?
I think I was. I can't remember who it is now.
Dockers. You're a Dockers fan.
Oh, am I? Yes. Yeah, I'll do that. I'm a Dockers fan.
That's right. Jules in Sorrento, are you a Dockers fan?
No, I'm an Eagles fan way back.
We're dropper.
Yep.
I grew up in Geelong Territory, so I'm very
close to the heart. Okay. Anyway, we forgive you.
I'll send you a picture of my
Your grapevine.
Oh,
My vine.
Yep.
I don't know where to try and start to tackle it and when.
Lord, it's a bit of an unruly looking thing, isn't it, Jules?
It is, because all I was trying to do for the last few years was get it on the wires that I've got strung there.
Okay, yeah.
So now I don't know what to do. Yeah.
Looks like it's had a big night out and it's got up in the morning and it's looking a little bit ruffled. So, I mean, you've got good coverage. Now, what I want you to do is you're going to look at that grapevine, you're going to go, I want to halve the amount of branches that are coming from the base.
Who wants to volunteer as tribute?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm talking 50% off some of those branches, okay?
Right.
Have you got horizontal wires going along the trellis? Yeah, I presume so. So what I want you to think of, I want you to go and have a look at an espaliered grapevine. And imagine being in the south of France going to a vineyard. That's what I want you to imagine. Mm. So if you want to get to go, I think that's part of your research, Jules.
Sounds good.
So what I want you to do is look at the wild, like sort of like it's on crack or something, your vine. I want you to tame it, Jules. I want you to think about go the horizontal. So do the horizontal yoga pose in front of it. So you're going to make them a little bit more ordered where you've got you make as many horizontal branches as you can so you can pull them down. Then you're going to prune back the vertical bits down to three nodes and just tidy it up a bit.
So this movie is called Jules's Grapevine Goes to Rehab.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Okay. I'll send you a photo when I've done it.
Could you please? I would love that.
Yes, thank you, Jules. Nice to speak to you. Let's take a trip to Como where we find Wynne. Hello, Wynne.
Wynne, do you need a little bit of rehabilitation on yours as well, on your grapevine?
My grapevine, it's a very old grapevine growing over a pergola.
Yeah.
And that pergola wood needs replacing. The main branches are as thick as your wrist.
Yep, yep.
So I need to cut that way back.
Yep.
But I cut one of the large branches and it's been pouring out
water
or fluid for 3 days. What do I do with the ends of those branches?
You do not do anything with those, Wynne. You're going to leave those, and that's what grapes do.
Is that the wine?
No, unfortunately, you can't drink. Well, you probably could drink it, actually.
Yep.
Now, that is quite normal when you prune a grapevine, Wynne, particularly if you do it before they've reached, you know, true dormancy. So they will always, all that moisture will come out of the wood, which is good, otherwise you'll get rotting. Do not do anything with the end of that cut. No painting, no dipping, you just leave it. The vine will close, seal that end point over, and it will do everything it needs to do.
All right. Good luck, Wynne. That's interesting about the fluid, though. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's quite often people forget how much water is drawn up by plants. Mm. Really big trees, if you have to cut a big limb off, it literally comes out like a hose. It just gushes out.
Like blood.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. Okay.
I know. They feel pain, apparently.
Oh, I know. You told me years ago to talk to your plants, and I feel like it works. I know I sound a bit crazy, and look, I have been up since 4 a.m., but it does. And when you put the plants next to each other indoors, they also perform better.
They do. But some plants don't like other plants, and they'll move away from it.
Oh, really?
They'll go, oh, you're a bit of stinky plant, don't like you.
Is that why that died?
Yeah. So they go, no, not playing with you. You can bugger off. Find your own playpen.
It makes
sense. It's mine.
Aidan, in Margaret River, you've stepped into this conversation. Where would you like to take it?
Well, we're just driving through the vines down in coming up to Kawarama, Margaret River, where I've got a pecan that has had a near fatal snapping in its early years.
And
we treated it with some honey and bandaged it up and pulled it back together, and it's doing fantastically now, but I'd like to make sure that it doesn't suffer again.
Okay. So why did it break? What was the deal?
I think it was a ringtail possum that possibly fell off my fence and landed on top of it. And it was luckily a nice clean snap, and we painted it with honey and tied it back together with some nice bits and pieces, and it seems nice and strong. It's only about, a foot or so up from the base of the tree.
Okie dokie. So did you clamp it or did you just sort of tie it together?
I put some star pickets around it and supported the trunk of the tree right up to where the foliage was, about 5 feet high, and roped between it so that it didn't move.
Yep. Now, the bark will actually grow around that eventually, but Aidan, it's going to take a few years, so you will not be able to remove that support.
Yeah.
And you will have to keep the weight of the branches above, and when they get heavy, you're going to have to take the weight off those until you see the bark has grown around that wound.
Yeah, okay.
So you're looking at a few years.
Vigorously.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Some people use, you know, the clamps. plumbing clamps that they can tighten up with the bolts. But it will heal itself, but you just got, you're going to have to manage it over the next few 3 to 5 years.
All right. Until that, possum to cut down on the pecans.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Yeah. That's and right. Sports Talk is coming up next.
Yes.
So thankfully that worked.
And it won't be run by me.
No,
that
it's you'll the men
all
in
be
hats.
Pleased to, we call them our sporty boy, boys with balls.
That's right.
Yeah.
With what?
Sporty boys with sporty balls.
Michelle from Melville. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, ladies. I have a question about a fertiliser, a pesticide I hadn't heard of until yesterday.
Yeah.
That a friend has started using because it's safe for her pets.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the ingredient is nonanoic acid with a surfactant, with a detergent as well.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to check whether it's also safe for, insects and lizards and
for all the little pollinators.
Exactly.
From what I have read, Michelle, it's not that safe for bees, European bees and the native bees. But what I will do is, because I've had a couple of questions about that. So, Michelle, I will talk about that next week because I really need to go into the research on where the testing was done, on what insects, to make sure that there's no secondary effects on our pollinators. So if you don't mind waiting until next week, I'll give you the full update on that.
Yeah, nice one. Let's quickly squeeze you in. Jacqueline from Yokine, you've got 10 seconds. We've got the photos. What's happening with your gardenia?
Well, a few weeks ago, Sabrina, you told me I had the worst case of cottony something or
cottony other. Cushion scale,
And I got the pyrethrum spray.
Yeah.
But it's not leaving, and as you can see from the photos, the leaves are going all yellow and falling off.
Yeah, they are. Okay, so that's mostly because it's winter. I want you to prune 50% off that gardenia. I want you go to a website that tells you about good bugs for bad bugs. There's a clue. And you can get parasitic wasps that will knock those off. So,
yeah. I was going to get ladybugs for my aphids, but I did your trick I can't say it because it's a brand and you use it to clear your nostrils.
Yes.
I put it around the base.
A little
of the
vapor tray. Rubby thing.
Oh,
got it out in the end there.
Oh, Savvy, I get so excited to see you. But Amber is back next Saturday. Have fun in your garden.
Oh, I shall.
And the plant swap. Get your tickets, please, because it's free, but you do have to register on the ABC website.
Yep. It'll be fun.
Very good. Thank you for all your calls. Bye, Savvy.
See you, Steens.
Here we go, 10 o'clock.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturday morning from 9 o'clock or Tuesday afternoons at 20 past 2. Tune in on your radio on 102.5 FM or on the ABC Listen app. Just look for the ABC Perth live stream. And that's also your chance to get in your own gardening questions. Give us a call on 1300 22 1025 or text 0437 22 1025. Catch you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.